Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can reach us on the show on our Twitter page, which is at Championship Pod. And you can also follow me on my personal Twitter, which is at underscore James Vickers.
Hello, my name is Louis Shackshaft, regular on the podcast. I support Sheffield Wednesday. I do a lot of articles, blogging and Sheffield Wednesday statistics. You can find me on Twitter at Louis Shackshaft.
I'm Simeon Pickup. I'm editor of the Tarhurst and a Reading website, and we do a bit of podcasting as well. Come over and check us out on Twitter at the Tarhurst End.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, guys. Bit of an unusual one this week, recording in midweek, but I put it off as long as I could until Preston sort of avoided defeat. So I'll throw it over to Louis and he'll take us through the midweek results.
Oh, you're throwing me in at the deep end, are you? Well, basically, going back obviously to Tuesday then, game of the round, let's start with Aston Villa and Preston, 3-3 draw, which obviously we're going to touch upon. Brentford and Birmingham finished 1-1, Middlesbrough 2-0 victory at Ipswich, Bor draw at Wigan, 0-0 Swansea, Leeds continuing decent form, top of the table with a 1-0 victory over Hull City, QPR on the road at Reading gaining a 1-0 victory also. Stoke finally getting a win, 2-0 at home to Bolton. Great form again, Sheffield United definitely up there in third spot, beating Blackburn on the road 2-0. Derby County drawing with Norwich 1-1. Sheffield Wednesday, which I'll talk about, drawing 2-2 with West Bromwich Albion. Another 2-2 draw there, Nottingham Forest and Millwall. And 0-0, Rotherham against Bristol City. And that's taking you through all the games midweek.
Yeah, cheers for that, Louis. Obviously, you mentioned there the first game that we'll touch upon and one that made me age about 20 years in the process watching it, Aston Villa and Preston. I don't know where to start really on that. 2-0 down, you know, in the first half going into half time, and a lot more of the same for us really. Just abysmal first half performance, no real creativity, sort of drive anything, and you know, questions were really been asked to Neil, playing our best sort of central midfielder out on the right wing, players out of position when he had the players on the pitch to play in the right position. So no idea what was going on first half. Second half, though, a completely different team. That was aided, obviously, by the James Chester red card, which, sort of watching it back, could count himself a bit unlucky. You know, he's took down the Metcher going for on goal, but there was, you know, very minimal contact. So, sort of with an unbiased head on, I think that was a bit harsh from Aston Villa's point of view. But, you know, Preston, to our credit, we fought, we got it back to 2-2. And then 5 minutes to go, we go 3-2 up. And, you know, I'm thinking, finally, you know, our first win since the opening day of the season, and then in true Preston style this season, you know, we managed to give away an equaliser, Yannick Bolasie, and Aston Villa having the luxury of bringing him off the bench, a player that, you know, every team in the division had killed for, to not have him in their starting 11 and bring him on is frightening, really. And then we still had enough time to give away a penalty, which, you know, thankfully we saved. It's a point in the right direction. It stops the run of defeats, which was, I think, 6 on the bounce at this point, excluding cup games. And, you know, the only way, hopefully, now is up. We're 24 still, so it can't get much worse. But, you know, we need to start picking up points quickly and going into the game at home to Wigan at the weekend. Hopefully that gives the lads a lot of sort of belief to take into that. And, you know, hopefully we can start to turn the home form round and claw away from the relegation places. Just get your thoughts, you two, Aston Villa, Preston. Obviously, we'll touch on Steve Bruce in a moment. What did you make of the game? And for you, was that the surprise or sort of game of the week? Or was there another one in particular that stood out for you two?
I think it was the game of the week. I mean, as you know, like you've mentioned there already, what happened at the end, you know, it could have gone either way. When, you know, Preston were winning 3-2, you know, I thought that was it, and Steve Bruce were practically going to be sacked at that point at full time, basically. But then, you know, they've come back and managed to get a point and probably should have won it, obviously. Whelan taking the penalty, I think they say he's not scored for years. So it was a surprise that he was taking the penalty. But on another day, I suppose that Villa take all 3 points. But it was just simply one of those games. Like I say, it could have gone either way. And, you know, from a neutral's perspective, it was, you know, a great game. But other results, what stood out for me, I know it was 0-0, but I keep, you know, noticing that Rotherham keep picking up points and drawing 0-0 with Bristol City, who I believe is one of the best footballing sides in the division. That was a great point at home, and they keep doing so. The other one, a six-pointer for me, and I'm surprised that they did manage to get the win, and I'm sure Simeon will touch on this, but QPR winning away at Reading, scoring the goal through Leisner in the second half. For me, that was a six-pointer, that game. I know it's early days, but in terms of the relegation fight, I had QPR tipped for going down this season. Reading both teams actually have started to pick up a bit of form and a few points in this division. But for me, I thought on paper that Reading may have had enough quality there just to nick that at home, but obviously not, which will move us on, obviously, onto Simeon, and he'll probably talk about that better than myself.
Yeah, just another frustrating home game for us, really. It's one of those where you've really got to earmark it as one to win, especially when you come off a pretty good run of form, I guess, beating Hull and Preston a couple of weeks ago, getting a really good surprise point against Brentford at the weekend as well. But at the end of the day, we just didn't show up, to be honest. The confidence wasn't there. The desire wasn't there. We were lacking in terms of the team sheet. A couple of players weren't in there. Bod Varson had to withdraw through injury just before the match. John Swift had got a goal or two up at Brentford at the weekend and was for some reason dropped out the starting 11. But even when those key players aren't starting, we should still be putting in some fight, just defending basically, which we didn't do for that goal. It's a scrappy game. It's a really low quality game, but it's the kind of one that you really need to get on the right end of. And as Louis said, it's a six pointer. Even this early on in the season, it's the kind of match that you need to stop the opposition winning, basically.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think when I watched Preston against Reading, you know, I thought you looked like a team that can get away from the relegation zone. Obviously, you mentioned there Bod Varson was a huge miss for you. And, you know, if he'd have played, you know, who knows what would have happened in that game. One game that I wanted to touch on, though, and I'll come to you for your opinion on this, Louis. Second game that I've seen Sheffield Wednesday in the last sort of week or so, obviously the Leeds game last week. And Adam Reach seems to be having his own goal of the season competition just with himself. Yeah. Another fantastic strike to go with the Leeds one. And there was a clip I saw from the Leeds fans from that game where Reach hit it on the half volley. And I think a few of them sort of cheered thinking it was going over before it dropped
they
in
did,
the top
yeah.
corner.
yeah.
I think it might have even been yourself who retweeted it. But yeah, you know, another... From your point of view, I guess it's 2 points dropped from being 2-0 up, but another good point at home against one of the teams in the top three. Are you sort of starting to build momentum now? I noticed Forestieri got the goal, who is sort of, when I've ever seen you play, one of your better players. No, Bannon's taken the plaudits this season. Are you confident that you're starting to put a run together now? I think you're a point or two off the playoffs. Do you think that they are a realistic possibility this season?
Not as yet, because simply... put it down to the fact that we're the only team left in the division who've not kept a clean sheet. And yes, you can look at the West Brom game, and I thought we put in a very professional, at times dominant performance. I think overall, we did deserve to win. I can say quite the opposite against the Leeds game, which we drew. I thought Leeds deserved to win that game. But against West Brom, I thought we played very well. There weren't really a player what had a bad game. Everyone put in a performance, you know, 7 or 8 rating for each player, and especially going 2-0 up. Yes, the problem we've got at the minute is lack of concentration, and we just we're conceding too many goals. We've played obviously 11 games. We've conceded 17 goals this season, and like I say, only team in division not to keep a clean sheet. So to say we're gaining momentum, yes, we are gaining momentum in terms of picking up points. But recently, we have been picking up too many draws, and like we always talk about here, draws can be a killer. So in that regard, we're not moving up the table. We're kind of sitting where we are, which is around halfway. But in terms of the game, yes, again, a great goal by Reach. You know, he can't half hit the ball, and you know, I'm sure he'll score a couple more like that in the remainder of the season. And like you say, he's having, you know, his own little competition there with his goals tally and scoring from outside of the box. But it's just so frustrating that, you know, after 85 minutes, we were 2-0 up, and, you know, I were ready to crack a beer open, you know, and think that were 3 points gained, and it would have put us in, well, into fifth position or sixth position, which seems crazy that we're sat in 12th just because we simply dropped 2 points. But fair play to West Brom. They're one of those teams that, you know, have scored a lot of goals this season. They've got a great attacking force, and it just goes to show that they can punish you in, you know, at any second, and they scored 2 goals in 3 minutes. And yes, it was so frustrating because I thought that victory was nailed on, like I say, in the 85th minute, but there we go. It just proves how difficult the Championship is.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned there that, you know, you're down in 12th at the moment, but only a couple of points off the playoffs. And one team that have really struggled so far this season, but, you know, they only find themselves now, I think, 5 points off, or 4 points looking at the table off the playoffs, is Stoke. Obviously a good win at home against Bolton, 2-0 on Tuesday night. Somewhat eases the pressure on Rowett, but I think, you know, at the moment they need to start putting wins together, you know, quickly to sort of ease that pressure. Do you think that the pressure will ease up on Rowett if he's able to put a couple of wins together, or do you think that the pressure is still there? And this question goes to both of you.
I personally think that you're right when you say that a couple of wins will see them right up the table, and I don't think that, you know, in this next few weeks that Rowett will get sacked by any means. However, if they don't maintain a push where they are winning a game every other game, let's say, then when it gets to such as, let's say, December the 1st, then that's when I can potentially see Stoke, yeah, getting rid of Rowett. If he's, you know, below 12th, let's say, in December, and like I say, the pressure gets more and more, as it has done for Steve Bruce at Villa, which we're going to come on to, then, you know, chairmans and clubs do look at alternatives, and to save their season with, you know, half the season remaining, then that's when they do get rid of managers. And like I say, if he's not, you know, within touching distance of sixth position, let's say, then yes, I can certainly see him going, but not yet. I think he's certainly got a few more months where he can, you know, push up the table, and he's got a bit of time on his hands where, you know, with the team he's got as well, and on paper, and the quality of some Premier League players that they've got there, there's no reason why they can't continue to climb in this league. But it's a tough division. They're probably not settled in well as well as they thought they would have done. And like I say, he has got a bit of time on his hands, but they need to start winning games thick and fast. And like I say, if they don't and it gets to Christmas, then yeah, he could be gone.
Yeah, I agree with that, to be honest. But for me, there's just such a negative atmosphere at Stoke at the moment. Having come down from the Premier League, you really want a manager to kind of come in and breathe fresh new ideas and really lift the place and really get them feeling like they should be winning games regularly. I know it's been a slow start for them, but it's not just about the results. It's about the general feeling at the club. And long term, the aim for Stoke City has to be to get out of the Championship and then establish themselves in the Premier League again. And at the moment, it doesn't look like Gary Rowett is going to be the right man for that, whether he turns it around or not, just because the vibe is so bad there. And they do really need someone just to come in and freshen things up, give them some optimism, something to give the fans something to look forward to, basically, when they go to a match week in, week out. That might be Rowett in the long term, if he can pull it around in terms of results, but at the moment I just don't think it's him.
Yeah, well, one team that, you know, has taken that step already to sack their manager, and, you know, looking at where they are in the table, Aston Villa, you know, 2 points outside the playoffs, so by no means have they had sort of a bad start to the season. I think from their point of view, they'd want to be obviously higher than they are, but, you know, it's not disaster by any stretch of the imagination. Steve Bruce sacked yesterday as we're recording this after the 3-0 draw to Preston, and I think sort of looking at it from a Preston point of view, I think more so the deciding factor was the manner in which that they drew. Obviously, touched on earlier that they were 2-0 up and ended up drawing the game 3-0. But, you know, as we said, if Whelan sinks that penalty, I think Steve Bruce is still in the job. So, you know, fine margins at the moment, and I'm not sure where Aston Villa go for here. I think their next managerial appointment has got to be, you know, bang on the money. Steve Bruce got them to the playoffs last year, unlucky to lose in the final to Fulham, who were, you know, if not the best team in the playoffs last season. And, you know, this season they've started okay, you know, a couple of defeats here and there, but by no means are they sort of started as badly as Stoke or one of them kind of teams. Both of your sort of opinions here, do you think that Steve Bruce should have been given more time purely for the fact that he took them to the playoffs last season and he seems to be a good manager at this level, or do you think that getting rid of him was the right decision?
You'd like to think that teams did give managers a bit longer. However, it's, you know, it's cutthroat, isn't it? You know, it happens at most clubs. It's, you know, loyalty from chairmen these days is few and far between. So it certainly didn't come as a surprise. You know, the pressure's been on Bruce really since they lost the playoff final last season. And with the start they've made, it seems crazy because after only 11 games, they are only, you know, 2-3 points off the playoffs. It's like one win. So if, you know, another victory and they were sat probably fifth or sixth, then maybe he would have kept his job a bit longer. But I think, you know, obviously the draw against Preston and they lost to my team, Sheffield Wednesday, recently at home also, you know, they've started losing points where they should be picking up points. So I think, yes, you know, they have made that decision to get rid of him and save their season, if they like. So, yeah, it's one of them that you'll never know. And like I say, I wish, you know, sometimes managers did get a bit longer, but it didn't come as a surprise at all. You know, I expect Bruce to be the first of many. You know, I expect maybe another 10, 12 managers to be sacked, you know, by the end of this season. So it's just a reoccurring theme, that's all.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I'll go back to what I said about Stoke, to be honest. It's Villa are kind of a bit similar in terms of the size of the club, in terms of having more money to spend than other teams in this division and having been in the Premier League for so long. But so when you have those kind of big expectations to fill to kind of get back into the Premier League and establish yourself, I don't think it's just about kind of scraping forward with some results, some wins that you can get here and there. It's not just about kind of like the points that you pick up. Certainly by that metric, it's harsh. They're only about 2 points outside the playoffs, but you need to kind of have that sense that the manager that you do have in charge is going to give you something long-term to build towards, basically. And I think the fans just lost confidence in Bruce to do that. I know he's not done a bad job there, considering he almost got him into the Premier League last year, but they've got to ask, is he the right man to lead the club forward over the rest of the season and perhaps even the next season after that? And if he's not, then he's had a decent amount of time in the job. Give it to someone else to see what they can do long term with Aston Villa.
Yeah, I completely agree with you two there. I think, you know, it would have been nice to see him sort of stick around, you know, for a bit longer, especially considering their position. But I think at the moment around Aston Villa, sort of seeing the game and hearing the crowd reaction on Tuesday night, there's quite a negative feeling. I think the football club as a whole needs a bit of a sort of a pick up from the disappointment of losing out in the playoff final last season. You know, there was the image that I'm sure everyone's seen now of a fan for a cabbage at Steve Bruce's head, which, you know, sums up how they're feeling at the moment. And obviously with Steve Bruce going now, it's a question of who they turn to. I think it was the Costa Rica or Paraguay manager, if I remember rightly, was linked today. But, you know, going for an unknown manager in sort of championship football like that is a sort of a huge risk in itself. Is there sort of any managers in particular that you'd think could either be free at the moment to go to Aston Villa, or any managers who've done well at clubs who, you know, Aston Villa could potentially go in for in the next couple of weeks?
Well, the obvious one for me is, and I believe his favourite is David Moyes. He's been out of work for a while, and he seems like he could be a decent fit. However, with Moyes, you kind of it's either success or fail. There's no in between with him, I don't think. So I don't know how that one would pan out. The other one that's kind of been linked as well, which is a bit of a surprise, is, you know, he's had links there in the past, but obviously Thierry Henry, he's 5-1. But there's two what stand out for me who I think could genuinely get the job. One of them is Dean Smith. Dean Smith, obviously, fantastic at Brentford. Like, every season, they overachieve, and you've got to potentially put it down to Dean Smith and how that club's run and the players he brings in. And yes, you know, at Brentford, he's got an opportunity to, again, finish in the playoffs this season. And Brentford are a team for me that I love watching, and they play some great attacking football. And if he left Brentford, I would be disappointed, but he'd be taking that step up in terms of, obviously, Aston Villa, like Simeon mentioned, a bigger club. But the other one, and unless a Premier League team comes in for him soon, is Sam Allardyce. Like, you know, Aston Villa and Sam Allardyce seems like a decent mould and a decent fit. And, you know, as we all know, love him or hate him, Allardyce has got a great record, whether that's promotion or relegation, should I say, in a relegation fight in the Premier League, sorry, not promotion. But yeah, that would seem like a decent fit. So those two, for me, I can see one of those certainly getting the job, which, like I say, would be either Dean Smith or Allardyce. But for me, David Moyes, who is the favourite, would be too risky, I think.
Smith's the one that stands out for me as well, to be honest. He's certainly done very well at Brentford in terms of the style of play. He's got them playing very attractive football, the kind of football that's going to lift the whole place at Villa if he goes there. And certainly with the way that he's built them up over the couple of years, you would have thought that he could have a similarly good long-term effect at Villa if he was to get the job. I think, in general, if you're looking at managers like David Moyes or Sam Allardyce or anyone like that, you kind of risk getting into that same cycle of just hiring and firing short-term managers whenever things don't turn out quite well enough for you. What Villa really need to do now is find someone who fits the ethos of the club in terms of how it is at the moment, but also gives them something to build towards over the next couple of years in terms of developing their young players as well, improving the recruitment, lots of things like that. They need to really have a properly wholesome approach to their next manager rather than just panicking, going out there and getting someone who's going to kind of give them a bit of a lift for maybe 6 months or a year, but will very probably leave them in this kind of situation not that far down the line.
Yeah, I agree with the point you made there, Simeon, about them needing to sort of build for the future as well. I think Dean Smith, who'd be my sort of choice to go in there, obviously Aston Villa fan and a manager that's proven that he can take a Brentford side and develop it and bring them on, which obviously Aston Villa would want him to do there, and he's kind of fits the mould of a kind of manager with the ethos of playing attacking, attractive football, which, you know, Aston Villa want. And I think at the moment there, they've certainly got the players to do that. You know, the likes of Yannick Bolasie, who I mentioned earlier, Tammy Abraham, all fit that mould of a team that can play quick, exciting football. So I think the logical choice would be Dean Smith. And I know over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how Brentford are one of the dark horses for promotion this year. And, you know, obviously, if Smith does go to Aston Villa, you know, that'd be a real sort of dent in their chances. But I think definitely he, for me, would be the one that they should go for. Whether that's the case, you know, remains to be seen. And I think over the next couple of weeks, as we said, that appointment is absolutely crucial, and not just to rush into it for the sake of rushing into it. I think at the moment, you know, their squad is good enough that with a caretaker in charge for a game or two until that international break, they, you know, should be, you know, more or less fine. And, you know, with how tight the league is at the moment, they're not going to drift massively outside the playoffs. So I think, yeah, that next appointment is going to be absolutely crucial and will shape their sort of future for many years to come, hopefully. But just to move on next, obviously I've touched on Yannick Bolasie a little bit there, who's a fantastic player. And there's been a lot of talk that I've seen on Twitter in the last few weeks, Blackburn fans in particular, saying that Bradley Dack is, you know, a shoo-in for an England call-up. And, you know, each team has their own sort of player. Adam Reach, Barry Bannon have stood out for you, Louis, Bod Varson for Reading. Who do you guys see this season? Obviously, you could have named a host of Wolves players last season who was the sort of the quote best player in the Championship. Is there anyone who stood out for you this season as sort of making a stake for that claim, or anyone who you didn't expect to have a particularly good season who's really stepped up so far this season?
I think it's difficult. Like, you're talking obviously England call-ups. For me in the Championship, I'm surprised Mason Mount has been called up, because there's no, you know, like you said, last season there was like your Neves and your Kearneys, fantastic players, like, you know, they stood out and game by game always put in an 8 or 9 performance with goals or assists. I know obviously Kearney was injured a lot of last season, but when he did come back, you know, they were cut above the rest. And in terms of best players in this division, you know, other than your Dwight Gales, and I'm a big fan of Harry Wilson. I think once, you know, he settles into this season again, he could be one of the standout players again. I love Aidan Flint. But in terms of any other players, you know, I'm not sure. There's no, how can I put it, no Messi or Ronaldo in this Championship division, is there, that, you know, week in, week out, scoring 30 goals or grabbing 20 assists a season, you know. So I'm unsure in that part. But from my perspective, you know, at Sheffield Wednesday, we have got a lot of youth players coming through. So the likes of Matt Penny and Ash Baker, you know, we've got a handful at the minute. We've obviously got the two goalkeepers in Dawson and Wildsmith also, who are, you know, got great futures ahead of them. So, you know, there's a hell of a lot of players. Like, you could list every single team and a couple of players in each team that, you know, is worthy of, you know, potentially playing in the England under-21s and have a bright future and could potentially get an England call-up. But I don't think this season there has been anybody in particular. You know, I'm not saying players have had a bad season by any means, but there's no one what stands out for me what think, yeah, they're going to be a England player or future England star in the next couple of years. Like I say, Mason Mount, I'm guessing Gareth Southgate, as we know, is building for the future, and he's potentially looking at Mount for the Euros or even the World Cup in 4 years' time. He is that young. But like I say, it were a bit of a surprise, and at this stage I'm unsure on anyone else, to be honest.
The guy who really stands out for me, to be honest, is Neil Mopai at Brentford. I know they play a very attractive style of football, so having a guy who can get in the right place to stick away those chances is always gonna help. But 9 goals so far this season, another 3 assists as well. In only, 9 games or so of the campaign, he's done so well, just scoring so regularly for an already very good side. Yeah, so he's got to stand out for me. Otherwise, looking at West Brom strike force, Dwight Gale and Jay Rodriguez just finding goals regularly. But I guess in general, I agree with Louis in that there's no kind of one standout Ronaldo, as you say, in this division. The players that do kind of, go above the rest in terms of quality are the ones who are just reliable, who just score week in, week out. It's typically the same household names, people like Billy Sharp and Benny Cafobe, players that we know are going to score regularly at this level, and you just need to get them in the right team, get them playing regularly, and they're gonna deliver the goods for you. It's not so much about having a standout, obvious superstar in this division, just about having reliable players.
Yeah, the two that stand out for me, and sort of watching him in person there a couple of weeks ago away at Leeds, and there was Barry Douglas, who I'm still surprised Wolves let him go in the summer. Obviously, their replacement's coming in done fantastically well, but he was one of the driving forces for them last season to get him promoted. So I was shocked that he'd come back down this season. But yeah, Barry Douglas, for me, you know, he's probably the best set-piece taker in the division, the best sort of crosser of a ball that I've seen for quite a while. And, you know, for Leeds to have him this season is a massive sort of coup for them. And he started the season fantastically well for them. And the one player who, sort of seeing him on TV, I was always a bit sceptical of him. I thought he was a good player, but I thought Leeds fans did hype him up a bit too much. But seeing him in person and how he ran the game against us was Saiz, absolutely fantastic on the ball. And I think, you know, if Leeds can keep them too fit this season, that, you know, they'll be there or thereabouts, especially if they can keep the squad fit, which we touched on a couple of weeks ago with the sort of the intensity that Bielsa likes to play and train at. So, yeah, for me, it'd be them two. Obviously, it's easy to go to the likes, like you guys have mentioned already. You know, Jay Rodriguez, Dwight Gale, Morpay, fantastic players. And, you know, ones who I'm sure at the end of the season will be probably in the top sort of five, six of top goal scorers in the division. Sadly, this season, I can't highlight any Preston players because they've all been that bad. But, you know, on their day, we do have some decent players. But just moving on before we sort of look to wrap up, obviously games next weekend coming up. We'll start with you first, Louis. You're on the Sunday this week, I believe, on TV, away to Bristol City. Quite a tricky game, but I think Bristol City have struggled in recent weeks. So obviously you've got those 2 points against teams in the top three. Do you think you can go one step further this weekend and play a team that are a bit low on confidence at the moment and get a sort of a decent result down there?
No, not really, if I'm honest. Going to Bristol City concerns me, if I'm honest. Yeah, I expect Bristol City, when they play at home, to usually come out on top, and they do. And like you say, they have had a dip in form. However, they're still sat 10th. They're on the same points as us. And yeah, I don't know why. I've just got a bad feeling about this one. I'm going into this one expecting to lose and hope for anything other than that, basically. If we do come, obviously, away with a point or the 3 points, then I'll be over the moon. I mean, it'd be a great win. I mean, we've only won one away game this season, and this is where we need to improve. So start picking up points on the road. It would be a great start at Bristol City because they are a decent team. Obviously, Andreas Weinmann, he's got 5 goals this season so far, so he's been one of their standout players. But like I say, I'm going to hold my hands up. I don't expect us to get much. I mean, I'm always quietly confident when we play at home. We're unbeaten in 8 games now at home, Sheffield Wednesday. So if it were role reversal and we had Bristol City at home, I'd expect to probably win that game. But on the road, yeah, it's going to be very difficult. And I'm going to hope for a point. But if I were predicting, I'd probably say we'd lose that game 2-1. But anything else would be great.
Yeah, and to come to you, Simeon, obviously a tricky game, or I say tricky, a very difficult away game to West Brom. You know, flying at the moment, obviously they got the 2-2 draw at Sheffield Wednesday the other day. How do you see that game going, and do you think that you can get anything at all from that game?
I'm terrified, to be honest. Looking at the goals they're scoring, how well they're playing, how quickly they're picking up points as well. It's just, and compare that to the poor form we've had this season. No, we've had a little bit of an upturn in recent weeks in terms of performances, but we're probably going to get a pasting, to be quite honest with you. Surprisingly, we haven't lost by more than one goal this season so far anywhere. But I can really see that changing on Saturday if Gale and Rodriguez show up and really kind of put the boot into what is a team that is already low on confidence and short on quality. If they turn up, then I can see it being 3-4-0, to be honest.
Yeah, and another tricky game for Preston. Obviously, being bottom of the league, any game's going to be tricky at the moment. We have a home game against Wigan, so a bit of a northwest derby. Don't class it as a big derby game, although I think Wigan fans, you know, anyone around us, they seem to class as one. So it'll be a good game to watch as a neutral. I think we're going to take in a big allocation, and, you know, hopefully we can get sort of a decent gate on to get behind the team after the draw at Aston Villa. I think for us, it's a case of doing whatever we can to pick up 3 points at the moment. You know, we haven't won since the opening game of the season in the league, which, you know, is sort of quite frightening to think about, considering we were one of the teams tipped as being a potential dark horse for the playoffs this year. So need to get back to winning ways as soon as possible. And, you know, Wigan have started the season fantastically well. They're riding that momentum from coming up from League One. So I think it'll be a tricky game. I think the positive for us is we're getting key players back now. Obviously, Ben Pearson and Ryan Ledson are back from their suspensions, and Shawnee Maguire's back in training as well. I think Saturday will come a bit too soon for him, but, you know, he could be on the bench, but I wouldn't expect him to play a massive part. So the real positive, though, is Nemecha had probably his best game in a Preston shirt up front against Aston Villa on Tuesday night. So if he can start finding form as well, and then to have Maguire coming back as well, you know, that's only going to help us. If I was to go for a score, I'd like to think we'd shade it just riding that wave. Whatever Neil said to the lads at halftime on Tuesday night seemed to work. So, you know, if they can take that sort of drive into the game on Saturday, I think we can get back to winning ways. But, you know, having said that, I've said that countless times this season, and it's backfired. So I'd like to think we'd win, but I'm not particularly confident. But just before we wrap up, looking for the fixtures for Saturday, there's one game that really takes sort of my interest. It's the early game on the Saturday, Leeds at home to Brentford. Probably so far this season, as a neutral, I'd say this has the potential to be game of the weekend, or even game of the season so far. Just a quick sort of thoughts from you two. How do you see the game going? Do you think Leeds can get sort of the 3 points home to Brentford, or do you think that Brentford can go there with, you know, no fear and give them a good game?
Both points, yeah. I think, you know, Leeds have got the advantage being at home. So, you know, my mind tells me that Leeds will probably come out victorious. However, we all know what Brentford are capable of. So that's, like you say, this is why it's got one of the potential making to be one of the really good games of the season. You'd expect goals. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it were 2-2 or even a 3-3. But, like I say, if I was a betting man and putting money on it, Leeds being at home, and they seem to have, you know, found a bit of form again slightly recently, with obviously some of their key players being injured, that they're still picking up points. So, yes, I will go with Leeds. But if I was predicting a result, like I say, it's a difficult one because I know what Brentford are capable of. I'm going to go 3-2 to Leeds, I believe.
It's an odd one to predict, really, because just looking at their form at the moment, they haven't been winning games regularly, either of them. Brentford have been dropping some points recently. I know Leeds got that recent win at Hull, but apart from that, generally speaking, they've both been struggling to win in the last five games or so. But when you've got really good teams like that going head to head, especially in a kind of like a big fixture, a televised match and everything, then it can bring the best out of them. It could be one of the most exciting games of the season. It could be one of the least exciting games of the season if both teams just decide to cancel each other out. But I guess at the moment I'm naturally going to be conservative and just towards a draw. Probably a 2-2 between both of them. Pretty cagey one with some flashes of brilliance, but they'll cancel each other out.
Yeah, I think if I was going to go for a result, I'd say a score draw. That's probably what I'll put on my accumulator. And knowing my recent luck in accumulators, that I'll probably be sort of the complete opposite to what will happen. But yeah, I think it'll be a great game to watch. And I think, you know, the attacking talents of both teams will be there sort of on show. And I think there'll be a lot of goals in the game. But yeah, I think Leeds, you know, being the home team, should be expecting to win. But Brentford, you know, coming off the back of that draw against Reading, and I know they've sort of found it difficult in recent weeks, will be wanting to get back to winning ways as well. So yeah, if I was to go for a bet, I'd say a score draw 2-2. But with that, we're out of time. If you two want to let everyone know where they can find you and any projects you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Yeah, so my name is Louis Shackshaft. You can find me on Twitter. My name is my handle, so at Louis Shackshaft. I do a lot of articles and blogging. I'm also doing a lot of Sheffield Wednesday statistics at the minute, so my latest blog will be about that, basically. So you can look out for that on my Twitter page, or just visit louisshackshaft.com to find that.
I'm Simon Pickup, editor of the Tyrest End. You can find me on Twitter at simfrombucks. I write a lot for the Tyrest End, and you can find us on Twitter at the Tyrest End.
Yeah, and as I said at the start, you can find me on my personal Twitter, which is at @_JamesVickers. More importantly, you can reach us on the show at Championship Pod. The shows each week are posted on there, and there's plenty of things to get involved in as well. So definitely give us a follow and check our pinned tweets each week, and you won't miss a show. But with that, we're out of time. Cheers for joining me today, guys. It's been a pleasure to have you on, as always, and we'll see you again soon.